So, as I said, we always start with a conversation, just to kind of give a little kind of context for the evening. So welcome, Ann.
Thank you.
And we're happy to have you and Billy Gomberg. And we also have, we also have Leonard Russo. And Robbie Lee on flutes. We're lucky to have not one, but two flutes tonight. So, Anne, you're a composer, a French horn player, and also, I guess, an acoustician.
That's
right. So I want to learn a little bit more about your background, how you arrived at each of these three things, really. I mean, when, for example, did you begin playing the French horn, and how did you become a French horn player?
Sure. Well, I started horn at the regular time, fifth grade band, and it was actually a choice that was given to me by my parents. They told me that I had to pick one of the most unusual instruments, so my choices were oboe and French horn, and the French horn was easier to play. So I went, and then my younger sister had to play oboe. But actually, I found that I really just loved the richness of the sound, and becoming an acoustician, it's fascinating because the direct sound is always engaging the room before it hits the audience, so it's a very fascinating way to investigate the space. So.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So starting in fifth grade, and then you've continued more or less to play, and
that's correct.
In band contexts, I guess initially, but then also eventually in classical and contemporary music settings.
I started in undergrad studying horn performance, and later switched to composition. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's talk about that a little bit. Your composition, you know, now I understand you studied it in Iowa, at the University of Iowa. That's where you, I guess, where you started.
Yep.
So what kind of an environment was that? I mean, and who were some of your teachers?
Well, my horn professor is Jeffrey Agrell, and he played a lot of classical music. He played with the Lucerne Symphony for 20 years, but he also was very interested in improvisation, and he had a special pickup in the mouthpiece of his horn so he could play amplified, and all of these things, so he was really encouraging us to try new things, and he was also part of the Sound Painting Ensemble, which was at Iowa, which is a sort of conducted improv that was started by Walter Thompson here in New York, actually. And so I got involved with that, and then through that I was led to the composition program, which was led by David Gomper and various other people that were in and out. But
yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. So what kind of pieces did you write? Was there a particular kind of style, or were they into Bartok, Stravinsky, Schoenberg, or all of them? Or?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess at my start it was more 12-tone kind of stuff, classic academic style music, but David Gomper had me interested in Messiaen and different scales, and microtonal stuff, and yeah, I mean, it kind of all came together in different ways, but my really formative academic experience for composition was I studied abroad in London for a semester at Goldsmiths my junior year, and got involved with the improv workshop led by Eddie Prevost, and John Laley was there, and lots of people who were doing, some people who were doing Umupo stuff, and my first week there I went to a concert of Vondelweiser music, and it was just like my mind was blown, you know, so it was kind of nothing that I had seen at Iowa, but I was able to bring it back and kind of put the two together a little bit.
Uh-huh. Nice. When, what year roughly was that?
That was 2003.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So a little over 10 years ago. Wow.
Yeah.
I guess Wandelweiser was full blown by that time.
I had never heard of it before, and I don't know how popular it was there at the time, but it was a Jörg Frey piece, I think, and then a John White piece, which was more of an Umupo style thing. So.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Great. So, just out of curiosity, I mean, if I may ask, where are you from originally, and is that in part how you ended up at Iowa?
Yeah, I'm from Minnesota originally.
Minnesota,
yeah,
great.
And played in the Youth Symphony there. Played some new music, commissioned works by young composers, and yeah, it also led me there. Mm-hmm. So
I gathered then it wasn't long after that, studying at Iowa, that you came to New York, because I feel like I met you at maybe even 10 years ago or 8 years ago. It seems like a while ago that you came to New York.
Sure.
Is that right?
Well, I met Billy Gomberg in Iowa, and we moved here more or less together because he went to Brown for graduate school, and so it was a short hop from Brown to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I first moved here, I worked for SEM Ensemble for a couple of years. Yeah. So that was kind of how I got here to New York. Yeah. So.
And then at some point you decided and then eventually enrolled at RPI for acoustics, right?
Yeah, well, and because working for SEM Ensemble, we played the same program in a number of different spaces. We went on an Eastern European tour with Ostrovska Banda in 2005, in 2006, and playing, you know, Peter Kotick really likes to curate his program so that there's contemporary music and earlier classical music on the same program.
Right.
And
right.
So I'd see that some spaces were really great for contemporary and some were really great for classical, and so that led me to want to study architectural acoustics to figure out why that was.
Right, and so you spent a good number of years, I gather, at RPI, is that right? And how was that? I mean, what's the experience of studying acoustics and all of the detail, I guess?
It was incredibly difficult at first for me because, I mean, there's a lot of math and physics background that, you know, I didn't have, but eventually I was able to figure out how to tie it to what I understand intuitively from playing in spaces. And I focused on stage acoustics for musicians because I felt like that was an area that I had, like, personal experience. I think it's been really exciting to me to have a conceptualization of where sound is going in a space. You know, before it was always very mysterious, and now it's like I thought it was going to take the mystery away, but actually it kind of makes it more exciting because you hear something and you can immediately understand, like, somewhat how it's interacting with the room that you're in, and why you're hearing things the way you are. But until tonight, I hadn't really figured out a good way to use it in my music, so this is my first attempt to do that. So.
Yeah, well, so in the sense of literally sort of working with a specific room and designing your piece for it. But I gather that your work, I mean, to the extent that your recent work, anyway, your electroacoustic work, your soundscapes, I gather they all in some way, you know, have some kind of emphasis on acoustics and,
sure.
and sonic phenomena, as it were. So.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, so good. Well, let's talk a little bit about the program tonight.
Sure.
So we have two pieces, right? And I guess the first is Three Nymphs Supporting a Clock, 1748. Tell me about the title first, and what's 1748? I'm just curious.
It's the name of a clock that I saw at the Frick Gallery about a month ago, and actually it features in the audio content a little bit, but the reason that it's struck me is the piece is influenced and takes elements from a Monteverdi Chaconne or Chiacona called Zefiro Torna, which is a piece that's always been like have had a very strong impact on me, but it's very counter to anything that I do or normally listen to because it's a very happy, upbeat thing. And for a long time, I was having a really hard time figuring out how to make something that was a tribute to it in any way. And then I started to realize that there's a balance between Zefiro represents the spring wind and it's fall, and I have recordings of wind from the Rockaways in April, and now recordings from the fall, and the Frick thing happened in the fall, and there's like this, there's a statue right next to it of Zefiro and Flora, and so I was like, this has to be connected somehow, so that's kind of where I was, and it's kind of a unstuck in time thing, so yeah, I mean, there's lots of ways you can interpret it, I guess.
And it's a new piece. It's
yeah.
Written. Yeah, this is the premiere, I guess.
Right.
And this is a piece for all four musicians, or?
Yep. So
right.
it's a piece for standing waves, electro or tape, and two flutes and French horn and bass.
Okay. And the piano. I'm sorry. The piano.
The piano's in the second piece.
The second. Okay. Well. Right, before we talk about the second piece, at some point you described the piece that you just described as a, I guess in part as an installation for, how did you put it? I know that in somewhere in there it was, you know, flute, instruments, and building.
Yeah.
So that I guess your in describing it as an installation for building, if you could expand on that a little bit. I mean, I gather we kind of covered that, I think, but in the sense that you've, what do you mean by that? In the sense that it's for, the building is an actual instrument?
Sure, so one of the really interesting things about this room that is that it is half as wide as it is long, and it's up to the pitch about as tall as it is wide. So it's like a perfect multiple of itself, which is a really great petri dish for creating room mode standing waves. So I have a subwoofer, and I tested the room for frequencies that excite the resonances of the space, and I'm playing through them during the piece, but in order to experience it, you have to move around, and you walk from the nodes to the antinodes, and you'll hear the volume drop within like a foot of distance, and it's a pretty crazy effect while everything else is still going on. So I encourage you definitely to walk around during the piece, and slowly, because otherwise you'll completely miss it. So.
Right. No, it was remarkable, and when you did your tests, I guess a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. I was here briefly, and it was kind of remarkable how different, you know, just moving your head, you know, a little bit, it's a completely different sound. So definitely take advantage of that.
Yeah, and also the vertical is equally interesting. So if you can like raise and lower your head, you'll also experience it that way. So. Mm-hmm.
Right, and as you can see, we have a lot of speakers around. How many speakers altogether, or how many separate channels are we working with tonight?
Well, we're using different speakers for the second piece because the musicians are controlling them. So actually, for the first piece, it's just the three or four speakers, I guess, because you're playing one in the back. Mm-hmm. So the corners, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, and then the second piece, remarks on color. Mm-hmm. This is a piece that is a collaborative piece between you and Billy.
Yeah, Billy Gomberg and I wrote this piece a couple years ago, and it was premiered at Willow Place for the Transient Festival, and then also recently played last week in LA. So we're trying to get as much out of it as we can, but I think it's going to be very different tonight. So.
And that's a piece just for the two of you?
No, it's for anywhere between, you know, 4 and 9 musicians, and we are currently playing it with 4 musicians and a invisible extra one.
I see. So we have the flutes and the mm-hmm. piano, and so we have all 4 musicians in all
that's
4
correct.
Pieces, or both pieces. Right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Excellent.
And also, I should note that Robbie is not playing a modern flute, he's playing a Baroque flute, so I don't know anything about it, but if you have questions, you can talk to him afterwards. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Okay, now you and Billy are also you. What is the name of your group? You have a ongoing group, as it were, or duo. And then that's called
Frau Fraulein.
Frau Fraulein, right. And you guys play together. You have a number of records out as well.
We have one that's coming out in a few months on another timbre. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we have some internet releases and one compilation disc with on Ilsa. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
And that's also French horn and bass and
mm-hmm. yeah,
and
we
electronics.
Do. It's improvised and field recordings and synthesizers mm-hmm. and stuff. So.
Great. And also you have at least one, I gather, one recent release, is that right?
The vinyl, or?
Well, I guess,
Codium Variegatum, yeah.
Tell me about that. So how did, say the title again, it's a Latin name for a plant.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Codium Variegatum is what I usually call it. But basically the cover for the album is a photograph that was taken by a friend of ours, Catherine Chalmers, in Costa Rica She photographs ants eating their way through things, and this is a particularly exciting plant because it has all these different colors and it looks really good, so she managed to place it in the path of the ants and they ate their way through it. So, mm-hmm. And I made a lot of the recordings that are on the album in Costa Rica when we were visiting them, so it's kind of like where the connection comes from.
I see.
And yeah.
And that was the plant in question.
Yes, exactly.
And the piece is, I guess it's a... It's a vinyl release, and it's an electroacoustic composition.
It's kind of runs the gamut from improvised French horn to sort of deconstructed recordings of improvised French horn to field recordings, drones. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's a pretty wide range of stuff on there. And also some performances by a cellist and a bass player, double bass player. That.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're also still writing... chamber music, as it were, or conventionally notated works, and that is that represented on this record as well? That
yeah, there were scores for those musicians.
Right. Well, I guess tonight is scored as well, for that matter.
Yep,
that's right. But I just remember in exploring, you know, your recent stuff, there were some pieces that didn't involve electronics,
mm-hmm.
that, at least that I could detect, that sounded more or less like a chamber score.
Yeah, I've also, although not recently, done some standard, just acoustic ensemble pieces.
Right.
One that Tom Buckner performed a few years ago.
Right.
And Ensemble Pamplemousse. So.
Nice. Great. So what are the things that are coming up for you and for Fraulein and any other projects that you're working with?
Well, I think, you know, our record's coming out, and I'm planning currently to play at a festival in Nantes in February, so I'm kind of focused on getting ready for that. But other than
mm-hmm.
that, I think just working on whatever comes up. So.
I see. Good. Yeah. And living here in Park Slope,
right.
In Fredonia, we always like having neighborhood people on the series when possible, so that's a nice plus here. Well, great. Well, thank you. So we'll continue now. I want to mention the series. This is a monthly series here at the Old Stonehouse, typically on the second Thursday of the month. And I have plenty of these cards which have the complete schedule. So I invite you to grab one from me or on the way out. And we have a website also, musicalecologies.net. I invite you to subscribe to the email list and follow the series that way. Also on Facebook. And great, and so we'll just have a short break to get set. And so the pieces we'll do more or less without a formal intermission. Or anything.
Yeah, we'll need a few minutes in between to change some of the wiring.
Right,
but, yeah,
right.
So.
And we are also gonna, as soon as we get set, we're gonna change the lighting as well. So make sure you keep track of your whatever stuff or whatever, because it's gonna get a little darker. And so just a couple of minutes, and we'll get on with the program. Thank you.